Support for Speaking of Travel comes from Asheville Regional Airport, Western North Carolina's gateway to the world. Your safety when traveling to and from Asheville is and always will be our top priority. Visit flyavl.com for all your current travel information. Prestige Subaru, offering a variety of new and pre-owned all-wheel drive Subarus. Built with the zero landfill promise, all waste is recycled or reused, with more at PrestigeSubaru.com. RomanticAsheville.com. Create your perfect vacation in the land of the sky with the region's most popular online travel guide. Plan your next getaway to Asheville and the North Carolina Blue Ridge Mountains by visiting RomanticAsheville.com. Nest Realty and Realtor Janet Oppenheimer. A senior resource specialist, Janet serves the Asheville, North Carolina area. Visit NestRealty.com and look for your trusted mountain community advisor, Janet Oppenheimer. And by Asheville Farms, unlock the potential CBD has in your life with Western North Carolina's premier supplier of high-quality hemp and CBD products. Visit our store at 28 North Lexington Avenue in Asheville and by visiting AshevilleHempFarmsNC.com. Welcome to Speaking of Travel with Marilyn Ball. Sit back and be carried away to places around the world and right here in our own backyard. No passport required.
Hi, this is Marilyn Ball. Welcome to Speaking of Travel right here on iHeartRadio 570 WWNC. And remember, you can always listen to this episode of Speaking of Travel or any past episode with a simple click on the Speaking of Travel website, that's speakingoftravel.net, and on all your favorite podcast platforms, including the iHeartRadio app, Buzzsprout, Pandora, Amazon, and iTunes. And be sure when you visit speakingoftravel.net to sign up for the Travel Club. You'll receive travel news, helpful tips, and links to stories from people who grab opportunities to engage with nature and harness the outdoors to power creativity. My guest today is Christy Teglow. She's the author of Weathered and the travel website Teglow Goes. Christy is a world traveler and loves adventure, and her travel lifestyle changed her life. And I'll tell you, I can't wait to hear how that happened and what she's up to today. Christy, welcome to Speaking of Travel.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, Christy, I'm telling you, I've been following you for a while and just love how you have traveled the world. You do solo female travels. You do so much, but you've been kind of not traveling for a while, and now you're out and about. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's about 2018 is when I left my corporate job. I was living in Los Angeles and started traveling full time after selling my house. And it was almost about 2 years of traveling around the world. And then when COVID hit, I was in Switzerland and I was supposed to be over in Europe for several months. And after 10 days, the travel ban started. And so I went back to the United States. My home base now is back where I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. And so I was back there and then, you know, spent some different times in 2020 and 2021 road tripping around the US, and finally just got to go abroad for the first time in almost 2.5 years. So I just got to Argentina a few days ago. So it's been exciting because it's been so long, and you know, it was still fun road tripping in the US, and I got to see lots of areas that I hadn't seen, like the Northeast, and did some national parks over in Wyoming and Montana and Colorado and Utah. But yeah, it was really nerve-wracking not going abroad in so long, but you know, everything so far had been has been really smooth. You know, I saw everything over the summer that people were saying flights were delayed, baggage was lost, you know, so people were delayed days. So I was really nervous, you know, being end of summer, is the flight fiasco still pretty crazy? And thankfully, I had no problems. I left St. Louis on time. I had almost a 4-hour layover in Atlanta. That left on time, almost. We sat at the gate for 45 minutes, had to add fuel. And that was just because our backup airport had to be changed due to weather and they needed more fuel. And I got super lucky on the plane. It was almost full and I had nobody seated next to me. So I had a window seat and then the aisle seat next to me was open. And then that was it. Really smooth flight. It was about 9-hour flight. I got to Argentina and yeah, it was really easy getting through customs. They just released all of their kind of restrictions for COVID travels. I really didn't have to do anything. Honestly, it was one of the easiest that I've ever experienced going into a country. And I just went through customs and handed her my passport. I speak a little bit of Spanish. She didn't speak much English. And so there was a little bit of a struggle. And I thought, I think she needs my flight info. So I handed her my phone with the app and she wrote down my flight info. And then she needed my email address. So I wrote that down. She took my picture, put my thumbprint, and that was it. So yeah, it was, it eased a lot of my anxiety. You know, that's been a lot of my fear with COVID is just the rules were changing, you know, weekly, it seemed. And every country was different. So you just didn't know what to expect. So I was really relieved that, okay, I got through customs, I got on the plane, everything's good so far. And when I walked outside, it was about 7:30 in the morning. It was 35 degrees. So that was a bit of a shock. I left St. Louis in the 90s, pretty hot and humid. And, you know, a local went to put on my jacket and, you know, he said, mucho frio. I said, yes. And mucho frio indeed. And when I got to my Airbnb, the girl who kind of checked me in and showed me this little apartment, she told me, well, yes, it's very cold today. Winter's ending. Spring is coming. 2 days ago, it was warmer. People were wearing t-shirts, but you know, it's going to fluctuate. So it was a little bit of a, oh no, I just walked into 35 degrees, but during the day, it's been getting up to like 55, 60. It's just at night and it's kind of fluctuating, but no, so far it's been really awesome here.
Christy, it sounds like it was just meant to be, like you waited. And then, you know, I agree with you. This summer has been pretty crazy with people almost fear mongering, if you will, as to what is going on out there. And yet when you're ready to travel, you take that risk and you say, I'm going to do it. And I think a lot of it has to do with your head too, you know, that you kind of, okay, whatever happens, I have no expectations. I'm going to make it work because I am going out of town.
Yeah, that's a really good point because I think I had kind of mentally prepared, just like you said, of, you know, I need to expect the unexpected, you know, if things don't go right or if things, you know, what can I do to not, you know, panic or not have all this extra stress? And yes, I think that's why I was really pleasantly surprised because it just felt like, okay, this was not so bad. This was actually one of the easiest, you know, countries I ever got into. And, you know, it dawned on me when I was getting off the plane, I thought, wait a minute, usually they come by on the flight attendants come by and give you customs forms. You have to declare things you have to. And I thought, wait, they didn't do any of that. Do I need some sort of customs form? You know, I don't know what I need. And nope, I didn't need any form, just my passport, wrote down my email, showed her my flight info. So it was actually easier than what I've experienced pre-COVID. And then even at the airports, you know, when I flew domestically, going to within the United States the last 2 years, you know, at the time you had to wear a mask, they had a little bit more restrictions. And so now all the airports in St. Louis, Atlanta, and Argentina, masks weren't required. They weren't required on the flight. I'd say about 5, maybe 10% people were wearing a mask. So it definitely felt like pre-COVID, to be honest with you. So I was a little surprised at how smooth things went, to be honest. So I agree. Like, I think some of it's been a lot of fear mongering, or it's also just the tide's turning and things are starting to get back to how it was pre-COVID.
Well, we can only hope, right? I mean,
yes.
We have signs that things are opening up and being more flexible. And yet at the same time, we have to be doing our due diligence to do the research ahead of time, make sure where you're going, what restrictions they might have. Christy, when we come back from the break, I want to talk more about you traveling, not only this trip back out after 2.5 years, but trips that you've taken in the past by yourself. I think there are a lot of women, especially, who are like, I want to travel. I'm in a place right now where my kids are grown up, or I'm ready to leave my corporate job. I want to go out and travel, but I'm still not sure. You're going to be a great source of inspiration for us. And I'm looking forward to talking to you more when we come back from the break.
Awesome.
All right. Well, this is Marilyn Ball. You're listening to Speaking of Travel. I'm here today with Christy Teglow. She's the author of Weathered, and she has a travel website, Teglow Goes. And Christy, I have to ask, is that teglowgoes.com?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Teglowgoes.com.
Yep. So go online, be looking at that as we're talking to Christy, and we'll be right back.
Traveling to new places is good for everybody, but sometimes travel can be challenging. The good news is there are products available that can put your traveling concerns at ease. Unlock the potential CBD has in your life with Western North Carolina's premier supplier of high-quality hemp and CBD products. Visit our store at 28 North Lexington Avenue in Asheville and by visiting AshevilleHempFarmsNC.com.
Green is good. Local food, less oil. Renewable energy, sustainable peace. Tree hugger. Say no to GMOs. Be kind to animals, don't eat them. Go solar. Coexist. Don't buy a dog, rescue one. Keep Asheville weird. We just read the bumper stickers on the back of a Subaru. Welcome to Subaruville. Prestige Subaru, on the web at prestigesubaru.com.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
welcome back to Speaking of Travel. I'm your host, Marilyn Ball, and my guest today is Christy Teglow. She's the author of Weathered, and she has a travel website, Teglow Goes. And Christy, you're a world traveler. You're in Argentina right now. You're taking your first trip. I want to talk to you a little bit, though, just a little bit about your backstory. When you were a kid, did you travel? Were you a part of a family that liked to travel?
It's sort of funny. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and my dad was from Pennsylvania and my mom was from Colorado. And so our vacations growing up were pretty much going to Colorado or Pennsylvania to visit family. If we weren't doing that and staying with family, we were camping. You know, we would go to different lakes and things around Missouri, and I always had a desire to see more, but it was very much exploring within the local areas of where my extended family lived. And I started working at age 16, and my goal was, you know, I was always a saver. I took whatever overtime I could get. And by the time I was 18, I was able to travel with friends to Florida for spring break. And then the next year I went to New York for spring break. And that kind of was always my goal, even throughout college. It was just, I'll work all through college so that I can go on at least one trip a year, you know, somewhere. It was always within the United States. And I don't think I went abroad. I mean, I had been to Mexico in high school. I did a mission trip, but it was really focused on that. So it wasn't too much exploring. And I had gone to like Ensenada and Rosarito and done like a small cruise. But my first kind of further abroad trip wasn't until I was 27. It was on my honeymoon. We had gone to London and Scotland, and I felt like, okay, that'll be my easy transition as they, you know, speak English there. It won't feel as intimidating. And I just loved it. I loved being in a whole new culture. And so at that point, I was married for 10 years. I'm divorced now. But we pretty much every other year would try to do something international. And then the year we didn't go international, we did something domestic. And so we ended up going to Ecuador We went to Hawaii, which isn't international, but it sort of feels like it because it's so far away. And we ended up doing a Europe trip that covered kind of Spain, France, Italy, kind of did a whole tour over there. And so it was something that was always a strong desire of mine, but I didn't grow up with money. And so it was not really an option to do vacations other than staying with family. And so it's just something that I just always prioritize with. If it means I need to work overtime, it means I need to get another job, I'll do what I need. And then it was, you know, in 2018 when I quit my job and I was got divorced year before. In 2016, I hiked the John Muir Trail by myself, which was 3 weeks backpacking the California Sierra Mountains, and it was about 225 miles. It really gave me, it was while I was separated from my husband, it gave me time to really think, really try to decide what I wanted out of my life. I had just been working so long for corporate America, and it was kind of an unnecessarily stressful job. And I thought about, you know, I want to do something else with my life. The next year, my divorce was final. I went to Scandinavia for 3 weeks, did a kayaking and hiking tour in Norway. And I just loved that because the year before doing the John Muir Trail, it had really gotten me into hiking. But when I thought about hiking abroad, I wasn't quite comfortable. And so I did a tour, and it was great because they showed us all around. And my book, Weathered, Finding Strength on the John Muir Trail, is about my John Muir Trail experience, which kind of set everything in motion. But I've always been a bit of a planner. And so for me, it still, you know, it was a year after the John Muir Trail, I went to Scandinavia. And then when I came back from that trip, which was 3 weeks, I came back to LA and just realized, I don't think I want to be here anymore. I've been in LA for 15 years and it's crowded and expensive, and the housing market was bubbling. And I thought maybe I should take advantage of this and sell my house. And even then, it took me almost another year to really prepare mentally, emotionally, financially. So by June 2018, I sold my house and said, you know, I'm just going to head to Alaska. And I don't know why, I got it in my head that I needed to go to Alaska and I wanted to drive. And there's only one road. It's called the Alaska Highway. And it was an incredible experience. And going all through Canada, British Columbia, the Yukon, it was just really untouched part of the world. I really loved that experience. And then spent a lot of time in Whistler, Canada, just north of Vancouver. And then by 2019, that's when I went abroad and did a month in Thailand, a month in Vietnam, and then 6 months in Australia. And I ended up getting a car in Australia and drove around the entire country, went through the middle, went to Tasmania. And there's something so special about those moments of, you know, when you have these long distance driving, it's kind of like long distance hiking. You have a lot of time to just think and reflect and see, what do you want in life? What's important to you? You meet a lot of really cool people when your environment's like that, because it's, you know, in Alaska, it's because you're remote and it can get really cold and it can be dangerous because of it's remote. And in Australia, in the outback, it's really remote, but it's really hot and it's really dry. So you don't want to run out of water. And so there's these elements that kind of bring human beings together, that strangers will help each other because you really have to. You know, it could be a matter of life and death if somebody is stranded. So you end up seeing a lot of the best of humanity and just experiencing these other cultures. And then in 2020 and 2021, when I was just domestically, that was a bit of a different experience because it was also dealing with, you know, COVID situation and lockdown changes. And so that was definitely a different type of experience. And now that I'm in Argentina, it's, you know, I've been here a couple of days and the people have been awesome. They've been really friendly, really helpful. I'm really excited to explore the area and see what's in store. In November, I have a hiking tour in Ecuador that goes through the Andes Mountains and the rainforest and the jungles. And so I tend to do a lot of, outdoor adventures when I travel, and probably because of the John Muir Trail, I really like to be active. And then it gets me the chance to see the natural environment and get to see, and then I get to stay physically active, physically fit, and get to just see new terrain around the world. And so, you know, it makes it a challenge when packing, because I have to pack for city exploring, nature exploring, hiking, can definitely be a challenge. But yeah, I really enjoy getting out there to do these activities. And I think one thing, you know, with being a solo female, it's one thing that can be really helpful if you're especially new to it and it feels a little intimidating is signing up for a tour. You know, when I did the tour in Norway, it really helped me because they showed us, you know, I followed them where we're hiking, where we're kayaking. I did a tour in Thailand for 10 days for hiking and biking, and we did homestays, you know, stayed with locals, had, you know, family meals together. And then in Australia, I also did a 10-day tour through the Outback, kind of accidental when my car died. That's a whole nother story, but that was ended up to be really cool going through the canyons and camping out there in a swag. And now in a couple months, I'm getting ready to do one in Ecuador. So I think that, you know, if you're new to solo travel and you're a little bit nervous, start with a tour. You know, it was a great way how that's when I first started in Thailand was a tour. It gives you a really good base to kind of jumpstart and feel a little bit more comfortable on your own.
Well, Christy, you are certainly a woman after my own heart. I'm going to continue to follow you, and I feel like I'm traveling vicariously through you, and I want to make sure that everybody knows how they can follow you as well. So give us your website and how people can get more information.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you following along, by the way. Yeah, so my book about the John Muir Trail experience is Weathered, Finding Strength on the John Muir Trail. And you can find that at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, most online bookstores. And my website is Teglo Goes. So my last name, Teglo, T-E-G-L-O, and then just G-O-E-S.com. And that has my blog and my travel information, has a contact option. So feel free to reach out and follow along, and you can subscribe so you'll just get a newsletter whenever I have a new post.
Awesome. Well, I can't thank you enough, Christy, for being on Speaking of Travel, and I'm really looking forward to having you back on the show after you've done this amazing walk about through Ecuador and all of it. I'm telling you, I'm in your back pocket. Let's just say that.
Aw, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I would love to come back on and talk about the latest experience.
That would be so great. Well, thank you, Christy, for being here on Speaking of Travel. Coming up next is Laura Sheets McCall. She's the executive director of Asheville's Independent Restaurant Association. Laura is an avid believer in giving back to the community and is leading local restaurants to grow the development of the industry with a commitment to collaboration and a focus on quality and efficiency. Stay tuned.
Whether you're traveling to points near or far or traveling on a life journey, every transition is an opportunity regardless of your stage of life. If you, a family member, or a loved one is looking to downsize, retire, or buy or sell a home, contact your trusted Mountain Community Advisor, Janet Oppenheimer, from Nest Realty in Asheville. As a senior real estate specialist, Janet will help and guide you through any life transition one step at a time. Contact Janet at nestrealty.com today, helping you find that perfect home to fit your next journey. Nest Realty.
Hello, fellow travel lovers. This is Toby Brown with Outdoor Africa. You may have heard me on Speaking of Travel in the past, as Marilyn and I love to get together and talk about all the exciting things happening with travel in Africa, particularly safari travel. If those conversations have piqued your interest, then I have some exciting news. Marilyn and I have put our heads together and come up with a fantastic safari to South Africa, and we want you to join us. This coming March 2023, we will be traveling to some of the great parks in northern South Africa to see the stunning wildlife and beautiful landscapes, and then jumping down to Cape Town for wine, penguins, and Table Mountain. So if a small group safari is on your bucket list, then visit speakingoftravel.net to learn more, or contact me directly at toby@outdoor-africa.com, or by phone at 828-216-1515. That's 828-216-1515. Join us on safari, and we can't wait to safari with you.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
welcome back to Speaking of Travel. I'm your host, Marilyn Ball. In 2020, the World Health Organization declared COVID a pandemic. And since then, the restaurant industry has dramatically changed. Today, restaurants are in a unique position after undergoing drastic changes coupled with new ideas that are changing the culinary landscape into the future. And here in Asheville, North Carolina, the Asheville Independent Restaurant Association brings together local food establishments to help advance the development of the industry with a strong commitment to collaboration and a focus on quality and efficiency. My guest today is Laura Sheets McCall. She's the executive director of Asheville's Independent Restaurant Association. And Laura is a strong advocate for social change and a believer in giving back to the community, which seems like a win-win for everybody. And Laura, it is so nice to meet you and to have you here on Speaking of Travel.
Thank you, Marilyn. So excited to be here.
So Laura, you are coming in after a bit of change, after these last couple of years during the pandemic, and as things are actually on the uptick now in the industry, give us a little backstory on how you came to be here right now.
Okay. I've been in Asheville about 3 years. I'm from North Carolina, but I was away for many, many years, most of my career, running a nonprofit, being a lobbyist for the largest federal association, and things were bobbing along, and at some point, I love change, and change was time again. So I started looking at something new. I first came to the state with an entrepreneurship education group, another small nonprofit. And with COVID, when things had gotten no longer fun, I couldn't be out in the community. I was on my computer all the time, and that just didn't jazz me. So I looked for something that was literally in the community where I lived, so I could get back to doing what I love most, which is collaborating with folks, meeting folks, and being a voice for change. So Eric came along and I got lucky.
Well, I think we as a community can say we got lucky having your experience and your background and your advocacy for social change and getting things happen, because really AIR, the Asheville Independent Restaurant Association, has had advocacy efforts going on for quite some time. Give us a little idea of how that is moving forward today, kind of coming on the back end of the pandemic and all the changes.
Okay, big question. But AIR has four pillars: advocacy, workforce, member community, and sustainability. So leadership and past staff did an amazing job to keep everybody afloat as much as possible. We worked on capacity issues. We worked on parking issues. We got heaters for folks. Clinics were set up. We did so much. But once we were all kind of excited about coming out of it, and hopefully we're mostly out of it, most of our restaurants survived. We do know that from some surveying. And what the leadership wanted to do is bring more advocacy as a forefront. So what that means is we have always done a lot of education, not only for our members who would be the owners of the restaurants, but for the GMs, for the staff, for the chefs. So post-COVID, we are now out and about offering multiple education workshops for our members and staff throughout the fall. We formed a housing task force, and we're working on affordable housing. Not everybody can do everything, but AIR is trying to do a support part. We have 150 members, which means individual organizations that were incorporated, restaurants that are incorporated in Asheville, Buncombe County, and remain their main presence here. With that, they represent 7,000 employees. So that's a large body that we want to help take care of. We want to help root them in the community. So that's things like housing, parking, maybe childcare down the road, healthcare. There's all kinds of things, not only to sustain our member owners and keeping the restaurants alive for the community, but the staff that helps support that. So there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. And really, you're creating a model of change in the way that this industry operates. There's always been a lot of talk about that. And I think now there's even more commitment to creating community, to work together, to partner. I brag all the time about how incredibly supportive and strong the Asheville restaurants are and seeing what they did over the last couple of years and how they've come out of it. And I'm so excited for you that you get to be a part of all of that. Tell us what's coming up. You've got a big anniversary coming up. Tell us a little about that.
I'm so excited. So we have Taste of Asheville, which is our signature event. We've not had it since 2019. Everybody's excited about bringing it back. Here in the community, it's their favorite event. Folks describe it as it's like a family reunion. We hope to have 50 to 60 of our representative restaurants there. It will be at AB Tech. So we're celebrating our 20th anniversary in conjunction with Taste of Asheville. That's going to be on March 9th. It's going to be one very large celebration party. Some awards will be involved. We'll honor our founders, Eric Sheffer and Michelle Beaudain, and just do a lot of fun stuff to collaborate. That's what we do best, and give everybody a chance to be in the room and high-five each other and celebrate the 20 years. It's been, you know, from everything I can tell and coming into this, I'm very blessed and lucky to have come into AIR. A lot has happened, and I think it has been so wonderful for the community, the restaurants, to help sustain the community of Asheville. And so we want to just be present and celebrate that. And then also, as we move along, we'll be hoping to do more in terms of giving back to the community.
Well, the giving back is something that has always been present in this industry, for sure. There's no doubt about that. And I also just want to mention, too, that when you talk about the advocacy for Asheville and what's going on right here in our town, it's important to also recognize that during the pandemic, we had representatives who were talking on a national level about what was going on. And that was so important and really helped to highlight what was going on right here in our own backyard.
Absolutely. You know, AIR is the only independent restaurant association in the state. Many places might have it, but it also might be on state level. We're very lucky that our founders had this wonderful idea. They tell me, having met with them, it's all about social action and being a voice for the restaurant industry. And I think they made that happen. And then the leadership and Jane and Kim and everybody that's worked in it, you know, kept it going. But it's wonderful to be a part of that collaboration. And I think we're very, very unique in terms of an association.
Absolutely. And tell us a little bit about the Passport program, because I know that's on sale now and I want to get a little information out there to the listeners.
Thank you. So glad you asked that. So we have an annual Passport dining guide. Right now, it's a fabulous price of 2 for 1. So buy one, get one. If you order online on our website, and I'll give you that in a second, I will send 2 to you. Basically, it's a $65 cost for 1, so you'll get 2 for $65. It's a dining guide of 40 different restaurants here in the Asheville area in Buncombe County. So you can't go wrong. In about 2.5 meals, you've paid for your Passport. Again, it is available online. And then we'll be coming out with a new one, Passport 2023. Starting in November for the holiday season. So think about buying it for your friends and family. And yeah, it's a great thing to do. So that's available on our website, Marilyn. And our website is AIR Asheville.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram, same way. So reach out, order that. You can reach me at execdir, D-E-X-E-C-D-I-R, at airasheville.org. Happy to field any questions, give us brainstorms. And if you love food in Asheville, please go on our website. We have a free monthly online newsletter called AIR Fair. It's written by Gina Smith and Kay West, fabulous food writers here in Asheville. And AIR Fair is just all about fun stuff with food.
Well, I'm excited, and I just realized that my holiday shopping is done.
There you go.
With one click.
Thank you so much.
With one click on that easy website. And tell us again what that website is, Laura.
So the website is AIRAsheville.org. And then on that, you'll see on the landing page to order the Passport. And you'll also see, you can click on, find our members, find our restaurants, find our sponsors. Again, we have 150 amazing restaurants represented. So please go on and see where you've been to eat out lately and go support us.
Well, thank you so much, Laura, for being here on Speaking of Travel today. I'm looking forward to having you come back, give us an update, maybe as we get into the holiday season, into what's going on, and certainly following up in 2023 so that we can be tuned in to all that's happening and how this affects our community right here in Asheville.
Great. Thank you so much. This has been fun, Marilyn. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Laura. Coming up next is Justin Bellamy. He's a travel industry leader and founder of the JB Media Group, co-founder of the JB Media Institute and the DIY Tourism Marketing Workshop, and he's the publisher of RomanticAsheville.com. And Justin is going to share some current COVID travel considerations and the latest trending topics in the travel industry. So stay tuned.
Are you ready to plan your next vacation or staycation to Asheville and the North Carolina Blue Ridge Mountains? Create your perfect vacation in the land of the sky with the region's most popular online travel guide. Not just for couples, RomanticAsheville.com is an 800-page online guide covering a nearly 100-mile radius around Asheville, North Carolina. Fall is just around the corner, making this the perfect time to explore all the many safe and memorable adventures to be found across Western North Carolina. Visit RomanticAsheville.com today.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
welcome back to Speaking of Travel. I'm your host, Marilyn Ball. So I've heard from a good many listeners that the fear of COVID still causes significant concerns about traveling. You know, before COVID, travel and tourism had become one of the most important industries in the world economy. And in 2020 and 2021, lifestyles changed, work, relationships, and the whole world itself. And one of the sectors most disrupted by the pandemic years is that tourism industry. Well, today, tourism is back and people are eager to be out there again, but it's really up to each of us to decide if travel can wait or can't wait. My guest today to talk about the lingering impacts of COVID on travel is Justin Bellamy, a travel industry leader and founder of the JB Media Group, co-founder of the JB Media Institute and the DIY Tourism Marketing Workshop, and he's the publisher of RomanticAsheville.com, which is Asheville's insider's travel guide for all there is to see and do when you're visiting the North Carolina mountains. And Justin, it is great to have you here today on Speaking of Travel.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thanks for having me. And a very poignant topic, considering that I am on my sixth day of recovering from having COVID for the first time myself.
Well, I appreciate you being here and being in real time talking about that. You know, I just heard today that our governor here in North Carolina lifted our state's COVID-19 state of emergency, but people are still fighting this virus and they're still having to take tests and vaccines. And what do you think is going on right now? We've got kind of mixed messages, if you will, like the emergency is over, but people are still getting COVID.
Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, reflecting on it from my personal experience over the last few months and those of friends and family. It's really hard to pin down. You know, on one hand, what you just said, the state has just lifted its state of emergency. One of our longest term clients is a cruise, and they just switched their policy up today from requiring vaccines to not requiring vaccines for a cruise that's next March. And obviously, cruise ships are vessels with 4,000 to 6,000 people, which have, you know, a lot of the challenges of keeping people separated that I don't see in other types of destinations. So that's an interesting, those are interesting changes in light of just how many people have been getting sick recently. I think that the testing numbers are really misleading right now. I think I've known more people to get COVID in the last 6 weeks than maybe about the same amount as the previous 2 years combined. In my personal, you know, my work, my across my roughly 20 employees, I think we've had, including myself, something like 7 people have it in the last 6 weeks. And I think the entire 2 years prior to that, maybe 5 or 6 had had it. And you know, the same goes for friends and family and people I'm talking to are saying the same thing. Now, of course, the severity of the cases isn't as much. I think that the numbers of people who are dying, fortunately, are much less, and the vaccines seem to be working, and the strain seems to be less dangerous to most people, but it's still impacting people. One of my colleagues' partner got it last week and had to cancel a really important trip. I was afraid I was going to get it about a month ago before my big trip to New England, when we had an event with my staff, and nearly half the people went to the event got it, including half of the 10 that from my team got it. And I ended up traveling not knowing if I had it or not, and it caused a lot of anxiety for me and my family during the trip. It turned out I was fortunate I didn't get it at that time and just got it a month later. So it's an interesting time, and it's frustrating, but I mean, I'm also grateful that I'm feeling as well as I am. I only felt really bad for one day, and I'm very grateful for that. And my family hasn't gotten it, and my parents still haven't gotten it. So, you know, it's not all bad.
Well, what was it like when you went to New England, Justin? Did you find that people were wearing masks on the planes? And did you feel like you were maybe okay to travel that way?
Well, I wore my mask on the plane both ways and in the airports, but I was in the minority. I would say maybe 30% of people were wearing masks in the airport, and maybe less than that on the flights I was on. I don't know if you know much about New Hampshire, but there it's a libertarian state by some definition. And so it was a very few masks in the state of New Hampshire that I saw while we were there. And my wife had been there a week before I arrived, and she had, even though she was really careful on the way up there, by the time she settled in and saw what people were doing there, she took a little bit more of a laid back approach. And I did for the time I was there. We were careful on the return trip, and none of us got it for that trip and four flights, and her spending 12 days and me spending five with them the last five. Felt really quite grateful to take that trip without any issues, and it didn't really impact what we did very much while we were there.
Well, it seems like there has definitely been a shift. I mean, as obviously, you know, if the governor is saying that the state of emergency is over, the mask requirements are still really by choice. People can make their own decision. But let's talk about how that might even play into the trends that we're seeing. I've talked to a couple of people over the past few weeks who have been talking about destinations, especially here in Western North Carolina, where we have so much nature, and people during, you know, when the pandemic started, really wanted to be out in nature. And we saw these huge leaps of visitors. And now they're saying things are kind of softening off a little bit. What do you think about that, Justin? Do you think that there's a correlation between maybe people still having concerns about traveling, or maybe they've just worn out their lust for being outside? What do you think?
Well, it's a good question. I'm still trying to understand this trend that you're describing, but we're seeing it with Romantic Asheville, with some of our outdoor industry customers reporting that they're seeing less ticket sales or less revenue, which, you know, by some measure was to be expected after there were so many compounding positive forces bringing people to Western North Carolina, and the people who are coming either staying more remotely into more rural outdoor parts of the region and doing almost exclusively outdoor activities would compound to create a ton of demand and interest and therefore revenue for those businesses. So I think I don't think that the number of visitors are down that much for our region. I think that people are just returning to a slightly more normal pre-pandemic mix of activities, which is causing, I think, what I believe to be causing that softening in those very outdoor activities, like things like zip lines, rafting, and a lot of new businesses that started up during the pandemic, like picnics and guided outdoor photography tours and things of that nature that were, you know, very on trend for a little while and have definitely seemed to soften a bit in the last year.
Well, I think that we're going to see things start to just like you said, you know, there, people have talked about this new normal. I think we're going to have to stay kind of current and up to date with the changes that are happening, the trends that are happening. You and your team are right there kind of on the ground floor of being able to see on such a big level working in the tourism industry, how things are unfolding. What would you say, Justin, for people who are considering getting out there and traveling right now?
Well, I think it's a personal decision, like you said, for everyone, what they're comfortable with. I have mixed feelings considering how we took a trip that was pretty ambitious and turned out fine. And I know a lot of people who've done that and had, you know, not had a problem, coupled with how many people I know who've gotten COVID from seemingly very little exposure or pretty, you know, a low impact events where you wouldn't think that half the staff would catch it or half the people would catch it. You know, I had very little exposure last week and I caught it. So yeah, it's a very personal decision, I think, still at this point.
Well, I can't thank you enough for being here on Speaking of Travel and sharing your diagnosis with us. We wish you the best and hope you get better soon. And also just keeping us on track and up to date on what's happening in the industry, not only here in Western North Carolina, but on a much bigger level as well. So we'll look forward to talking to you and your team again as we move into, it's hard to believe, but it's like we're moving into the end of the year already.
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn. I appreciate you having me on again and listening to what I have to share about current situation.
Well, thank you, Justin, and take care, get better fast, and thanks to Christy and Laura for being on Speaking of Travel. You know, with most people traveling again in big numbers, it's more important than ever to be safe. Nothing ruins your trip faster than getting sick, as Justin was saying, or running into trouble when you're traveling. And, you know, you don't even have to be traveling internationally. Things happen anywhere. Overall, the world is a pretty safe place for travelers, but you have to use common sense, and it's always good to research your safety tips, always good to get travel insurance, and always feel comfortable asking for help. Make sure you stay on the trails and really don't do dumb things for a photo opportunity. Always be respectful of the places you visit and trust your instincts. Risk is unavoidable, but you can manage it if you just pay attention and be prepared. Just don't let fear bring you down. Because remember, life is short. Don't postpone joy.